Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We thank God for every one of you that are going to take time from the busyness of this season to not get caught up in all of the momentum, the hustle, the bustle. I mean, it around here in Tampa, it's getting almost dangerous to be walking across the street or driving your car. People are hollering at one another already. There's road rage incidents taking place, fender benders and accidents, because people are so distracted from even their driving at this time of year. And so we would invite you to get out of that rat race for a little while, and let's begin to capture and recapture, if necessary, the true spirit of Christmas, the true reason for the season. Praise God. We've got a great message in just a few moments, and we would invite you, if you are a Christian, to take time out of the busyness, the hustle, the bustle, the pressure, amen, and get into the pleasure and the joy and the peace of Christmas. As we study the subject, the glory of Christmas, specifically why Jesus came. Why Jesus came. And just before we get into this message today, we would like to invite you to come to our website. Just type in THCOG. That will take you to where this broadcast originates. And that's the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida, where I've been the senior pastor for next month. We'll mark 40 years of ministry here in the city of Tampa. And we're so glad to be wearing the hat of pastor evangelist because of media ministry now, because of our website, because of this radio broadcast, and because WMAF is connected to the World Wide Web, and the programming that you're hearing right there in North Florida is available to anyone with a computer connected to the World Wide Web anywhere in the United States of America. Anywhere in the world. Praise God. Amen. And because of our website, there are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, and it's one of our most popular downloaded parts of that website, that people come and they get a Bible study in a preaching, teaching context, and it's 30 minutes. It's easy to listen to. It doesn't take a large investment of time, but it brings a great reward in fruitfulness if we receive the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we're just excited today about the real spirit of Christmas and the real reason for the season. Today we want to talk about why Jesus came. A lot of songs and sermons at Christmas time point to the manger in Bethlehem and to Mary and her holy child, and rightfully so. God did indeed send his Son into this fallen world. Some only see Jesus, though, as the Christ child, the little innocent babe who came to teach us to love one another and to live in peace with one another. There is truth in that. He's God's love gift. His Old Testament title is Prince of Peace. But to some, Jesus is a mere religious symbol, a perpetual child, a sweet, innocent baby that evokes sentimental emotions. But if we would fully appreciate the birth of our Savior, we must fully realize why He came. Our sin debt brought Him here, into this fallen world. Our separation from our God brought Him from heaven's glory to a manger in Bethlehem. Our helplessness and hopelessness, our condition that sin had left us in, hurting, aging, dying without God and without hope, that's why He came into this fallen world. That's why He became incarnate in flesh in that womb of this teenage mother, to go to a cross when He became a man, and to hang on that cross and to die on that cross for you and for me. Jesus did not accomplish our salvation by laying in a manger, but by hanging on a cross. One church captured this truth vividly when they arranged a beautiful manger scene in the front of the sanctuary, then placed a wooden cross a few feet in front of it. The bright spotlight in front of the cross caused the shadow of the cross to be cast upon the manger scene. I'm going to submit today that Jesus was born in the shadow of the cross. Had there been no birth of Jesus, there could have been no crucifixion of Christ on the cross. And without the crucifixion of Jesus, the sin debt for you and the sin debt for me could have never been paid any other way. That's why we need both the cradle and the cross. They are united in the purpose of God to save us from our sins, save us from ourselves, and save us from Satan's wrath. I want you to know today that when I see that baby in the manger, with or without the lighting effects and the wooden cross, I see the shadow of the cross upon that manger scene. And it evokes within me a praise of thanksgiving for God giving us His only begotten Son to die in our place, to take our punishment. Like the little baby lamb that was set aside for the sacrifice in ancient Israel, so was our Savior's birth. That's why God sent Him, and that's exactly why He came. Some have said, appropriately so, that the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Friend of mine, Jesus came to reconcile us to God, to bridge that great gap that sin had created. You know, in the Old Testament, God speaking to Israel that had sinned against Him and were still unrepentant, He said, "My ear's not heavy that it cannot heal. Here, my hand is not short that it cannot save. But your sins have separated between you and your God." Amen. Jesus came to bridge that gap. For all of our sins have separated between us and our God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We find a wonderful scripture to verify this great truth in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Listen to it carefully. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. I like one paraphrase of this scripture. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. Praise the Lord. Jesus bought our freedom by paying the ransom price in full at the cross. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. And you know, while Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Bible speaks of that event and says it this way, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Amen. The Bible goes on to say that the just has suffered for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. You see, heaven is not the supreme goal. Heaven is where we're going to live with Christ forever, and our loved ones that have preceded us there that knew Him. But heaven is not the supreme goal of our salvation. It's being reconciled unto God. Heaven is the bonus, if you please. But it's closing that gap, that great chasm, that separation that sin had created. Jesus came into this fallen world to reconcile us to God. Hallelujah. And He came to change us within, to show loving kindness to sinners who cannot change themselves. This is verified in Titus chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. And it's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Friend, I want to submit to you today, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, He not only reconciled us to God, He gained for us a standing of righteousness that would allow the Holy Spirit to come within us and affect us mightily. Holy change within. Our very nature has begun to be affected by the nature of God Himself. When we struggle with sin's sway, it's because we now have a holy aversion to it. It's not like the past when we gave our allegiance to it. There's been a change without and a change within. I used to love to hear George Beverly Shea sing, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses and lands, just to know that I'm led by His nail-pierced hands, than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway." Oh, if you're Christian today, aren't you glad to be free? Jesus came to set the captive free. And if you're not a Christian today, you can be set free. There's nothing that can hold you, no one that can keep you from coming to Christ if you decide to. Praise God. The power of God will go into operation. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 brings this great truth to light. It says, "And you," verses 1 through 5, "and you," well, let's just read it all the way through verse 10. We got the time for the word today. "And you hath He quickened," which means given life, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." One paraphrase reads, and I like this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can go and do the good things He planned for us long ago." Praise God. Oh, friend, what we have received in Jesus, why He came to this earth, what He came to establish, what He came to accomplish. I want to report to you today, Christmas is a reminder that His mission was accomplished. Because that baby in a manger prayed in a garden called Gethsemane. in that place where all the pressure was on him. Amen. And he prayed, not my will, thine be done. And he prayed, if there's any other way, let the cup pass, but not what I want, what you will. There's another way to save man. I don't want to go to the cross, and I don't want to be treated as if I had sinned who knew no sin. But if there's no other way, I'm willing to take the place of every fallen man, woman, boy, and girl on that cross, that whosoever would call upon the Lord might be saved. Oh, what a gift we have in Jesus Christ. What power and potential is available to us in Jesus Christ. What is available to you and to me today in Him is beyond telling. And yet here I am, like many other ministers this season, trying to give us a glimpse of the glory of what it really meant for God to give us His only begotten Son. Jesus came to deliver us from sin's power and consequence by becoming our sacrifice lamb. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26 says, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. For then He would often have had to suffer over and over again since the foundation of the world, but as it now is, He has come once for all at the consummation and close of the ages appeared to put away and abolish sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Oh, friend, He gave Himself for us. God did not just send us His Son. He sent Him to die in our place. He gave His only begotten Son. As Isaiah writes, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Not just sent into this world to be a great teacher and a great healer. He was all that and more. But sent in this world specifically to die in our place on the cross. That's why when John the Baptist saw Him, he had a revelation in his heart of His divine purpose in coming to this planet. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." What a statement to make when a sacrificial system was in place in ancient Israel and lambs were being brought to be slain, to be sacrificed, their blood to be spilled, their life to be taken in place of the guilty. And here, Jesus is titled by revelation of the Holy Spirit to John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And when you see that baby in that manger this Christmas season, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to clarify to your heart that you might behold Him as a sacrifice lamb, born and set apart. Amen. You know, the lambs that were taken out of the herd had to be without spot, without blemish before they could be offered. Jesus came in that manger as a lamb set apart, a sinless one that would take our place on the cross. And that's what it meant when it said, "For God so loved the world that He gave." Isaiah is clarifying that a child is born unto us, a son is given in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Friend, make no mistake about it. Jesus came to die to give us victory over death. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm talking about the reason that physical death even occurs. It's because of spiritual death. Through one man's disobedience, Adam, the Bible said death has reigned upon all men. Ah, but when Jesus came, through one man's perfect obedience, even to the death of the cross, His resurrection, His ascension, His intercession in the presence of God right now assures us of life everlasting. Because spiritual death is conquered. Physical death will not hold us in a grave. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 through 10, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Where did he first appear? Not on the sandy shores of Galilee to those fishermen, but in that manger in Bethlehem, in that first Christmas evening. Praise God. I like what Harriet Hine wrote in these lines about Christmas. She said, "If there had been no Christmas morn, no Christ child in manger born, no shepherds watching in the night, no angel song, no star of light, then there would be no hope today for this old world where sin holds sway. No peace for souls weighed down with sin, no deep abiding joy within, no burdens lifted by His grace, no strength to run life's weary race, no sorrows eased, no tempest quelled, no fears dispersed, no doubts dispelled, no song of praise, no answered prayer, no loving Lord to guide and care. But friend, there was a Christmas morn when Christ the Son of God was born. Oh, hallelujah, praise His name. Hope lives today because He came." Praise the Lord. Amen. I like this statement too today. In his book, Psalms of My Life, Joe Bailey wrote the following poem, "Praise God for Christmas. Praise Him for the incarnation, for Word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on a frosty night or angel choristers. I will not sing of stable barren Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing distant star with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to His Son as He stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite eternal Son who became most finite a baby, who would one day be executed for my crimes. Praise Him in the heavens. Praise Him in the stable. Praise Him in my heart." Friend, Christmas is a season of salvation. We should rejoice that Jesus was born in the ancient city of Bethlehem long ago, and our hearts should be filled with joy because that child was and is the Savior, Christ the Lord. I pray that as we've just studied the Scriptures for a little while here today, that when we see that precious baby in that manger scene, it will evoke within us an understanding that God gave us His Son. That baby in that manger was headed directly for that cross. That's why the third wise man didn't bring gold. The first gift of Christmas was gold, a gift for a king, and then frankincense, a gift for a prince. But then myrrh. What is this gift of myrrh? It's like going to a baby shower and giving someone a prepaid funeral or a suit for their newborn son to be buried in. What a thing to give a parent of a brand new, beautiful baby boy. And yet, it signified why he came. And there was a bittersweet part of that glorious celebration of the birth of Jesus. Because deep in the heart of his mother, there was a knowing that this child had a destiny. It was a glorious destiny, but it involved his death at a tender age, 33 years of age, when he drew his last breath on the cross. Ah, that he might lay down his life, that you and I might have life eternal, and that he might take it up again on the third day. Praise God, that he might ascend to heaven, sit down at the right hand of God, and promise that he would come again to receive his own unto himself. I want to love him more than I've ever loved him, serve him like I've never served him. I want to live my life in a thanksgiving for all that he has accomplished. And I want to thank my Heavenly Father for giving his Son for me. And I want to thank Jesus Christ for giving his life for me. Hallelujah. And that's how I want to keep Christmas this year. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a glorious time, and I'm going to celebrate, and I'm going to enjoy all of the other things in their proper place and perspective. But there's no joy like the joy of God's great salvation through Jesus Christ today. I'm going to invite you right now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that right now, right where you are, you would receive the greatest gift that could ever be given in all of the world. You talk about a gift that keeps on giving. This gift gives throughout all time and eternity. The gift of eternal life. The gift of reconciliation to God. The gift of sins forgiven. Of all that guilt lifted from us. Hallelujah. Today, would you just simply say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I need a Savior. I'm not going to run from you anymore. I'm going to run to you. And today, Jesus Christ, I receive you into my heart and my life. And I commit myself to follow you the rest of my days as my Lord and my Savior. Come in, Jesus. Come in and reconcile me to my Father and heal my hurt and save my soul. Praise God. Praise God. And if you're a Christian today, and you're already caught up in the pressure, the tension, the hustle, the bustle, the commercialization of Christmas, don't seek just the sentimental feelings of the manger, but the significant spiritual truth. God gave His Son for you. That gives you value beyond words to tell. God gave His Son. Jesus gave His life. Oh, how He loves you and me. Don't doubt it today. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Shout it from the housetops. God loves you today. We love you today. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.
The glory.